Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Miss Evangelist Clayton, are you with us this evening?
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
Could you please start us off in a prayer this evening, please?
Yes, sir. Our Father who art in heaven, holy would be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debt as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we ask and pray. Father God, we come to you humble as we know how, Father God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. Lord, we want to thank you, Father God, for meeting us right here at the appointed time, God. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for your forgiveness, Father God. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities, God, and create in us a clean heart and renew that right spirit within us, Father God. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father God. Father God, we call it out to you, Father God, to have mercy on thee, Father God. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know, God, that you are able, God, to do all things above all we ask or think, Father God. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for hearing our humble cry, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, we pray, God, for our world, Father God, as a whole, God. We pray for all mankind, Father God, man, woman, boy, and girl, Father God. We know, God, that you are able, God, to do all things, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, there's a cry, Father God, in the land, God. And God, you told us, Father God, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, Father God, and forgive their sin and heal the land, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We know, God, that you are able, God, to do all things, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, we're crying out, Father God, for all the gun violence, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. The gun violence is in our schools, Father God, in our community, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, for your aim of God to do all things, God. We know, Father God, that Satan is on a rampage, God, saying whom he may devour, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. For you are able, God, to do all things, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, massage the heart, Father God, of those that are broken tonight, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Those, Father God, that have lost their loved ones, Father God. Those, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Yes, I understand, Father God, what is going on in their heart for heaven tonight, God. But we know, God, that you are the same today, yesterday, and for evermore, Father God. Father God, you told us, God, the vengeance is mine. Thus said the Lord of hosts, Father God. Father God, we give you all praise and all honor, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. For you're worthy of the praise, Father God. When praise goes up, Father God, we know, God, that your Shekinah glory is going to rain down upon us, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. For you're able, God, to do all things, Father God. God, we ask, Father, that you will comfort the mothers tonight, Father God, that are grieving, Father God. Father God, that you comfort the fathers, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. For you are able, God, to do all things, Father God. Above all, we ask for things, Father God. Father God, comfort the girls and boys tonight, God. Father God, our grandmothers and grandfathers, Father God. Our forefathers and former mothers, Father God. I know that you are able, God, to comfort them, Father God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We know, Father God, you are able, God, to do all things, Father God. Father God, we give you all praise and all honor, Father God. Father God, where earth has no sorrow, God, that you can heal, God. I know that you are able, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, you are able, God, to do it, God. We know, God, that we can't make it without you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, we glorify you. We thank you, God. We ask, Father, to recover our schools, Father God. Every school in the nation, God, that you will keep it covered under your blood, Father God. We plead the blood of Jesus, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, for you're able, God, to do all things, God. God. We glorify you and we thank you, God. We thank you for meeting us like that, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, we have children, Father God. Children, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, gun violence has begun to be rapid, God, in our nation, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. For you are able, God, to do all things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, we give all praise and honor to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. Because, God, we need you right now. Lord, our world is crying out to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, we give you all praise and all honor, Father God. You told us to trust you, God, in all our ways, acknowledging you, God, that you shall direct our paths, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And we're leaning and we're depending on you tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, our babies, God, our babies, God, are bleeding and crying out to you, God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray, Father God, psychologically, natural, physical, and emotionally, God, that you're able, God, to do it all, God. God, we call it already done, God, because we know, God, that you're that same God tonight and you were yesterday, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, we glorify you. We give you all praise and all honor, God, that you would keep our nursing homes covered, God, in the name of Jesus. So much is going on, God, in the name of Jesus. We know you see all things, God, and you know all things, God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We give it all to you today, Father God. But knowing the help that we know, God, that all our help, all of our help coming from you tonight, God. But we can't do it without you, God. Without you holding our hands, God. Without
Amen.
You seeing us through, Father God.
Amen.
In the mighty name
Amen.
Of Jesus, God, for you able to do it all, Father God. And Lord, we got this thing done, God. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father God. Order their steps, Father God, to, from, for, and near, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Keep your hedges of protection around our home, God. Anything, Father God, that the enemy has set a trap, God, we know that you're able, God, to do all things, God. Fight against those that fight against thee, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. And we give it all to you tonight, Father God. Plead our cause, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, when it's all said and done, God, we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, God. Grant us the serenity, God, to accept the things, Lord, that we cannot change. Courage to change those things that we can. And the wisdom to know the difference, Father God. And God, we glorify you. And I ask that you continue to order our steps, God. And this is my prayer, God, that I lay at the foot of thy altar, God, that is already done. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that I ask and pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
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 Amen, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
How many gun fights will continue to grow? How many times will mothers and other siblings have to make arrangements?
Don't press buttons.
Let's put down our guns. Let's embrace and have fun. Remember, the life you take, you can't replace it. Also remember, life is uncertain, but death is sure. This is the Godfather reporting live from 6i Radio Network. Have a good day.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on 6i Radio Network. Head us up. 424-243-9617. Check, check.
It's all right. And this hand will
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the 6 Hours Radio Network.
Good evening. Good evening.
And good
evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Squad, I'm glad to hear everybody's here.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot going on in the world right now, you know, as we always do. You know, we buddy check everybody's mental. So, you know, we want to go around the room, go around the board. For all the listeners, the phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. Please call us. Join in with us. Share your thoughts and your opinions. How's everybody's mental doing?
Our mental is good. Our mental has been challenged this week. Good evening, everybody. This is the Queen. My mental has been challenged this week. It's been challenged quite a bit in very different phases of my life, but I know that God is good. I know that God's always going to be there for me. I thank you guys for your prayers. I am feeling a lot better. I've been pumping myself with a lot of medicines under somebody's restrictions. But I know it's all in love. And honestly, everything he's telling me to do is working. So, so you know a few things. But it's been good. I mean, I made it through it. So I know if he brings me to it, he's going to take me through it. And that's the main thing. I'm on this side of it now. So thank you for asking. My mental is good. My mental is going to stay good because I'm going to allow God to keep it that way. And I want to say this. If you want to talk, press 1. There's a couple of people I think need to be talking, but they haven't pressed 1 yet. So make sure you press 1 if you want to talk, okay? Thank you, and I'm complete.
Thank you, Queen. Appreciate you as always. Any other the other young ladies?
Good afternoon. This is Evangelist Clayton, hailing out of Tallahassee, Florida.
Good evening.
And I tell you, my mental has been challenged this week, but I had to realize that God brought me back to the present. Amen. That he don't put no more on us than we can bear. And we know that we have children and children, children and friends and loved ones. And this thing has really disarrayed me, but it brought me back. Amen. To God be the glory. So I'm grateful. And I tell God, thank you. Amen. That he put me back into the present place where prayer is so important and prayer is a life-changing experience. So my mentor is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Alidosha. Miss Destiny, you in here this evening? Okay, maybe she isn't here yet. What about Miss Pride and Joy? Miss Pride and Joy, are you in the building this evening? And just remember, if y'all want to be heard, please press the 1. Who else do we have on the panel tonight? On the fellow side, Mr. Two-Piece, you here?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How's your mental doing, sir?
Oh, man, it's been challenging this week. Monday, son had an asthma attack while going at the speed of 2,000 miles per hour in his jet, but they was able to get him down and land safely. Got challenged again. Between yesterday and today, with all the threats that was going on about shooting up on high school graduation, so it'll make you kind of cautious and very cautious about sending your kids out and make us cautious about doing the graduation that comes up next week.
Right,
Saturday.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But through it all, you know, through evening prayer and everything, you know, my sisters and brothers in Christ got me back on track, you know, had to remind me who to lean on, which is Jesus Christ. So we leaning on him and trusting in him to guide us through. We know that God got everything under control.
Absolutely.
And that, I'm good, sir.
And you appreciate you, sir. You bring up graduation. Does anybody have any graduates? Do we have anybody? I know the school ended and they're out for the summer.
Hey, this is the queen. I have 2 cousins that's graduating this year. Whoop, whoop. And one of them has been recruited to North Carolina to play for the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Ooh, so look out for Deuce Caldwell.
That's right. See, that's when you hit the button. When you hit the button on
look
the board.
Out
clap,
for him.
Clap, clap, cheer.
Look out for Deuce Caldwell. That's right.
This is unshakable. I have 2 nephews that's graduating this year. One's graduating from high school, and one is graduating from preschool.
That's what's happening. Congratulations. Did Destiny or Miss Pride and Joy make it back yet? Okay, not yet. You got somebody graduating too, Peace, sir?
Yes, sir. Son,
absolutely. Go ahead, talk about
Governor School out of Greenville. He also has a full scholarship to go to Yale to be an eye doctor. My daughter Shaylin, who's graduating from River Bluff High School with honors, coming in at number 11 in her senior class, going to a full scholarship and band scholarship, academic both and band, to University of South Carolina, where I went to school.
Right.
So I'm very proud of them, too.
Congratulations. That's
Congratulations.
What's up. I'm so happy for these kids and proud of these
absolutely.
Kids because this pandemic has had a toll on everybody, you know? Yeah, so I'm glad 2022, class of 2022, gets to do everything they wanted to do and worked hard for because, remember, class of 2020 didn't get to do anything. And that was sad. That was my daughter class, and she didn't even get to go to prom. They didn't even have a graduation.
Can y'all hear us yet? There you go. I was just about to tell somebody to call y'all. I was about to say, I don't know what happened to Destiny. I'm like, let me find out she hot again.
Now we can.
Turn your phone up, Miss Destiny, if you don't mind, please, sweetie.
So how's your mental, Miss Pride and Joy?
Absolutely.
My mental is awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm having an awesome, awesome week for change. No complaints, no complaints. I'm having a great week, an awesome week. I have no complaints.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. What about you, Miss Destiny? How's your mental? How you been?
Hello. Hello, everybody. Yes, this is Destiny calling from Virginia. My mental is doing okay right now. We had a few tornado warnings earlier. But we made it through that, so I'm thankful for that. And my mental, like I said, is doing okay right now. So thanks for asking.
Thanks for sharing.
Putting me in and out of the queue, so I don't know.
And I hope you're all right down there because I hear you got a little stormy weather going on down there. So our prayers go out to you down there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Stay
yeah,
safe, stay dry. Anybody else? Okay. Who was that?
I wanted
to give everybody a chance first. You said who was that? Okay. Well, you know, this is AJ. I'm calling out of Cleveland, Ohio. You know, my mental goes up and down day to day. You know, a lot of y'all know I got a lot of things going on off the phone that I'm trying to deal with and I'm trying to handle, but. You know, through the grace of God, I stay strong. I stay focused. I weather the waves. I had something happen to me this week, and it shook my spirit. Like, it shook my soul. Somebody that I really love, somebody that I really, 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 really care about. You know, we had a misunderstanding. And I'm not one for tears, but it almost brought me there. And so I had to call upon God, and at the end of the day, I put it in a perspective, and I accepted what it was, and know that whatever was for a good thing, and it was God's work at the end of the day. And I have so many other things to worry about that are so much bigger than. Than you know, the loss of a friendship or the loss of a loved one. And I say that to tell other people that, you know, we have to put certain things in perspective. If you have people that you really love and you know really love you, if you have true friends, if you have true people around you that are really family, you know what I'm saying, that you really care about, now is the time for love, for unity, for closeness. So, yeah, that's what I've been going through, but, you know, I have the squad. I got the 6 Hours Radio Network. I have God. I got my son. I got a good circle. I'm good. And as long as there's breath in my body, and I wake up and I make it through another one, I'm going to be here to fight the good fight. And that's what I've been going through. That I'm complete.
Check, check.
Check, check.
Thanks for being you, sir.
Check, check.
That's what I'm talking
about. What'd you say, 2P, sir?
That's what I'm talking about, is being around my family.
Well, that's what we got to do. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ms. Jada? How is your mental doing this week, sweetheart?
My mental this week, I'm better than I was last week. I was under the weather, you guys know, thanks to the prayers and the get well wishes. I'm better, but my mental through the past month has been so-so. A lot of you guys probably don't know that I had a loss of my family through gun violence. First I want to introduce my friend.
Absolutely.
She called into the show today. Her name is Nicole. Nicole, say hi to the squad, AJ and the squad.
How you
on
doing,
the 6 Miss
Nicole?
Radio Network.
What is her first three?
Her first three?
Mm-hmm.
The area code?
Mm-hmm.
708.
Okay. 1 second. 708, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nicole from Chicago.
Hey, how you doing?
I
met Nicole back in 2016. She was my home care worker, but we became friends, real good friends. So we've been knowing each other for a while, and I always thought we could chit-chat every day, all day. But,
You're welcome, Nicole.
Thank you.
How you doing, Nicole? How you doing?
Finding yourself.
I'm all right. How is your mental?
It's okay.
That's what's up. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's getting ready, though, for two nephews. I told you that getting ready to graduate, and she's getting ready for prom. So she's going crazy right now.
I know that's right. that's a whole lot to deal with, right?
It really is.
At the same time.
And you know, the boyo, he been here before, so you know. So we all know how that could be. Yeah. But back to my story about gun violence. On Saturday, April 30th, I came home from dialysis. You know, I was talking to my auntie throughout the day, and she called me back. I was like, oh, my God, what do this lady want? I didn't talk to her like this the fifth time she called me. So she was like, hey, what you doing? I'm like, I'm chilling. Just finished eating. I'm about to probably take me a nap before the show, you know? And she was like, oh, where's Tamarin? I'm like, she in there. She said, I want y'all both to hear this. I'm like, stop playing, because my auntie plays so much. And she was like, no, I'm not playing. And my other auntie was on the phone. She was like, no, she's not playing. So my daughter came in my room, and she was like, you sitting down? Well, I was like, what do you want? Stop playing. Don't be joking. She said, I said, are you serious about what you're about to say? She said, yeah, I'm serious. She was like, the 14-year-old killed the 17-year-old, but she was trying to tell us. At first she said the 17-year-old killed the 14-year-old. I'm like, what? And this is my cousin kids. I'm like, you playing with me right now? She's like, no, 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 no. So my little cousin, they, you know how boys are. They get into it. They always just arguing or whatever, play fighting or whatever. And one was talking to their grandma outside on the phone. The other one was talking to his uncle in the house on the phone. So I don't know. They must have squashed their little beef or whatever they had, their little argument. And they must got into it again. So at this time, my cousin was on her way home from work. She's a nurse. She do like 3 or 4 16-hour a day, I mean a week, for, you know, a nursing home or whatever. So she was on her way home, and she told them, stop arguing, I'm on my way home, I'll be there. She stopped by the library to get copies of some paperwork she had to get. She's on her way home, and my little cousin, the 14-year-old, said that he was gonna kill his brother, Jalen, because he got tired of him putting his hands on him. So my cousin Jalen was outside. The 17-year-old was outside still talking to his grandma. He had just got off the phone. And JoJo went outside and shot my cousin three times in his groin area. My other little cousin, the 7-year-old, heard it. And he was like, I'm not about to go outside. I don't want to get shot. So when he stopped hearing the shots going off, he went outside, and that's when he seen his brother, his oldest brother, laying on the ground, saying, Carter, help me. Call the police. Call the ambulance. And my other little cousin pushed him and was like, you know what just happened? He's like, yeah, you just shot Jalen. And so I guess he went in the house and, you know, cleaned the gun off, cleaned himself up, changed his clothes, put a hoodie on, black hoodie, black Tim, ran. And by the time my cousin got there, the police and everything was there. And they airlift my cousin to Indianapolis, to the hospital. But my cousin had already passed away. So it's just been a trying time and a hurtful time for the family, you know, because it's like, you know, you torn between, like, what the, you know, what the hell, you know. It's just crazy. And especially if you guys grew up together. And he was a sweet young boy, you know. He always would tell you a million times a day he loved you and stuff like that. But we would never thought in a million years that would happen, you know. And now he's waiting in the detention center. JoJo is in the detention center right now. And, you know, in Indiana, between the age of 12 and 14, you can get tried as an adult.
Wow.
So my cousin actually went to a wave hearing today. And basically on the 16th of June, that's when we'll know what's going on. And, you know, my cousin, she really needs some prayer because she's torn. Them both is her kids. And she lost both of her kids, basically, you know. So she don't know what to do, you know. So my little cousin just locked up right now. He told her he wanted a lawyer, a public defender. He wants the forensic people to come in to look at his arm because when him and his brother was arguing and fighting, you know, his arm got bruised. But, you know, that's not self-defense. That wasn't a mistake. So he wasn't thinking that he killed his brother all alone until we had the funeral. And his mom went up there to visit him, and she took him to the obituary. And then he broke down and started crying and said he never meant for it to go that far. So, you know, like I said, my family really needs prayer because my cousin, she, you know, she's messed up in here right now. I think they all going to need counseling, you know. So, yeah, just pray for my family.
Well, absolutely. We definitely.
And I'm complete.
Absolutely. And our condolences, best wishes to you and your family. And it goes back to so many things that we've talked about before on so many levels. Gun safety starts at home. These children should not have access to these guns. These guns, you should have trigger guards. You should have gun safes. There, you know, there's been stories where the young girl killed her cousin with a 9mm, and it had a whole drum, like 50 rounds in it. There's no need to leave these type of firearms laying around. There's no way that these type of accidents should be going on. And you heard what Unchecable said. Like, it's like it's not real to them. They don't really get it. They don't really understand. You know what I'm saying? We're all understanding that there's a big need for mental health awareness. We all understand there's need for counseling, for therapy. The world is a different place right now. So it's just sad, you know.
And to
hear these stories, story after story, it's just, man.
Yeah, and she don't even know where they got the gun from because, like she said,
right.
You know, she worked like 3 to 4, 16-hour days a week. After the fact it happened, now the kids talking about, you know, the daughter saying, you know, they had the gun, but we still don't know where they got the gun from.
Right, and that's a problem in today's society because we all know you can get a firearm anywhere, you know, and the smaller the caliber, the cheaper they are. And with listening to you say that, you know, back in the days, I don't know about your parents, but my mother used to listen. She was up under the mattress. She was going through the closet. You know what I'm saying? And
you
think
he loved her mama.
Exactly. Because it was a difference. Like we knew, you know, our mothers and mothers passed, and when parents, you say parents and parents passed, you know, they knew us. You know, they paid attention to us. You couldn't lie to my mother. You couldn't steal. You couldn't do anything, let alone do it in the whole neighborhood, because the whole neighborhood, you know, would get a phone. You know, your mother would get a phone call. Your parents would get a phone call. And, you know, more and more like you get your little high, you know, whooped and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's certain things like we've talked about before. We need to go back and reinstitute a lot of those things. We can't, with the way the world is, you know, it's one parent, at best, if we can call them parents, but there are women, there are men out here struggling to survive, and with the way the economy is, you know, the things that's going on in and out of the home and society, it's hard to keep up with these kids. They got the smartphones now. It's a whole different culture on who's got their clutches on them, who's got their attention. And we have to be more vigilant with these children, because these stories just keep going on and on and on. And what can you do if you have a single mother and you have to work, you got to provide, you got to pay the bills, and you have to make your choice. You have to trust your kids to be grown, and what's grown to them is not what was grown to us. When our parents leave, we knew you better do this. This better be done. The laundry, whatever you was told to do, better be done. And you could go outside and do whatever, but you better not be in trouble, and you better be home at the right time. So things are different. So it's really just it's unfortunate to hear this story, but absolutely our prayers and best wishes and condolences to your family, Unshakable. And keep your head up, keep your faith, stay in the fight, baby.
Thank you.
Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right?
We're good, I believe.
Okay, I believe Pride and Joy had a story that she wanted to talk about. I believe, is she still here with us, Mr. DeSantis?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, you had a story that you wanted to talk to us about, correct?
Correct.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be speaking on sports, and again, this is 6 Hour Radio Network, and I'm going to be speaking about the Cleveland Brown new quarterback, Deshaun Watson, doing a new conference at the NFL football team training facility. Deshaun Watson week includes meeting with the NFL investigators, you heard me, and also he got to go on a trip to Bahamas with his new Brown team. He chose a defensive lineman and he took him on a trip. That's right. While all of this is going on, once he get back, he will go up under a public security. Some of the women who have accused Cleveland quarterback of sexual misconduct during massage therapy session while he was with the Houston team. Now, you remember he was with Houston before he came to this team. He has been interviewed by HBO Real Sports with Brown Gumbel on Friday. Record breaking, you know, he signed a contract for $230 million with the Cleveland Browns. The show will air on Tuesday. Watson, who signed with the Browns in March, denied any wrongdoing. He is facing a civil lawsuit, 22 women who allege he behaved improperly while they gave him massages in recent deposition that became public because one of the young ladies was crying. She was crying while them two was together. He never mentioned any of this section. He apologized to her. He tried to text her. And, you know, the lady feel like this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the contract. It doesn't matter about you playing ball. It's all about you touching me inappropriately. He is facing possible punishment from the NFL's league, trying to determine whether he violated his personal conduct policy. Some of the league investigators met with Watson this week, and they're trying to figure out the timing of these 22 women as far as Houston and where he at now. They're trying to figure out the time in between it. The commissioner said, you know, against the time frame, he will be disciplined. The cut judge, who is Sue Robinson, she appointed for him to be gone. She wants him to be gone, period. She don't want him to still be playing ball. You know, he's figuring because he don't got his contract that he's still going to be able to be playing this ball and still, you know, doing his thing on the side with the women. But once he get back, it's business. Everything starts with business. The investigators will be the first ones to talk to him. And from now on, it'll go on down and down the line. Before, and then they will decide on the Cleveland Brown team what punishment they think he should get or whether they will be getting rid of him. Now, he was seen while he was gone on this trip. Like I said, he took the defense linemen. He took them with him on a trip. He was seen, you know, just playing golf, you know, having fun, wasn't even thinking about nothing about what he got going on back here. And again, like I said, once he get back, which he should be back by now, you know, he has to talk to the investigators, and then he started talking to some other people, and then they're going to decide on what they're going to do. So just like the lady that was crying, she, like she said, she don't care about all of that. She's talking about him touching her inappropriately and still touching her while she was crying. And he said he didn't see her crying. He seen her crying. He seen that she didn't like it. So that's what I want to talk about today is, and especially I want to start off with the women. What do you think you would do if you was in that predicament where you knew what he did? You knew, because you're the person. And he's still saying he didn't do it. He didn't do it. That is what he keeps saying. So what would you ladies do? Anybody?
May I?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, you may.
This is the queen. As like any other situation like that. Sometimes we put, and not saying she did, but sometimes we put ourselves in those kind of situations. We look into the money, the popularity, the publicity. And she could have been a completely innocent victim. I'm not saying she's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying a lot of times we get so wrapped up in who that person is or what that person can give us or the fact that, ooh, I went out with Deshaun or, ooh, Deshaun came to me. We get so wrapped up in that. I mean, we've seen it from Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, you know, all those people. We get so wrapped up in who the person is, we forget who we are.
Right.
And we are still women. We are still queens. We are still products of God, that we still allow our bodies to be temples and used in that matter. So even when we get to the point where we just say, oh, well, he, that's who he is, we have to realize they still just human. They still a man.
Mm-hmm.
We can't allow people to do these things to us, regardless of who you are and what kind of money you got. That's still something we have to deal with once they go on and live their life or whatever. We're still hurting with that pain and that agony of what just happened to us because we allow money or publicity or fame and fortune to get the best of us. And so I feel for her, and I hope things turn out in her favor. But sometimes we just got to just, we got to say no and stick to no. If that man calls you or you meet him at the club and you go to his motel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, come on now.
Right.
Come on. You know, and even if you get there, you realize you don't want to, you set yourself up for it. So now it's your word against his. And, I mean, you have a right to say no. You have a right to go there and not do it. But it's not going to look right on you. And now you got to try to defend yourself when you know you didn't do anything wrong. But at the same time, you shouldn't have got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and went over there. My mom used to always tell me nothing open at 2 o'clock in the morning but Waffle House and legs. So, I mean, you got to watch what you do for yourself. But I hate that for her. I hope she gets through it. And he needs to get whatever he deserves, regardless of who he is. So,
yes.
With that, I'm complete.
Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Would anybody else like to comment on that?
Yes, may I?
Absolutely.
Just commenting on Pride and Joy, you know, story. You know, some of these women, I can't say all, some of these women are, what you say, quote unquote, they want them a baller. They want to get a guy that they got a good bag. you know, some of them are gold diggers. So they put themselves in these predicaments like Queen said. You know, she probably thought she was going to get something, but he turned the trick bag on her, you know. So I just feel like, you know, she knew what happened. Why not say nothing when it happened? Some of these women be scared. I don't know. But don't wait 30 years later. Like they've been doing Pope Cosby, you know, Bill Cosby. It's just crazy. I just feel like when it happens, say something about it, for everything can get handled in the right way, you know. So I just feel like some people just be doing stuff that don't make sense, and people can only do what you allow them to do. So. That's all I got to say about that, and I'm complete.
Appreciate you. Does anybody else have something they would like to express about that? Okay. Go ahead.
May I?
Yeah,
absolutely. This is Evangelist Clayton. This is Evangelist Clayton, and I tell you one thing for sure and two things we know. A lot of time we see the guys, ladies, and I'm going to speak from a lady standpoint. We see a guy that done hit the jackpot, and now, you know, I'm somewhere in his midst. You know, I've been kicking it with him, and others know, and I'm going to make sure that I put the information out that I'm kicking it with A, B, C, D, F, G, you know, and now he has signed a contract. So we finna roll now. We finna roll and bounce now. And I'm a part of that. You know, whether you're going to be the number one main or whether you're going to be, you know, the songwriter says side piece, a sidekick on the side, you know. Mm-hmm. And when things don't turn out the way that you want it to turn out, then you know, he's a dog. He's this. But then as Queen said, we have to know what position that we're putting ourselves in. You know, especially 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just keep it real with you, cause I came from that place. Ain't nothing open but legs, and you know what? Mm-hmm. Just the Waffle House, wherever you want to go. Yep. Waffle House stay open 24 hours, 24 hours in a day, and the Waffle House stay. Don't put yourself in a position because you want to be named known by A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I just sit back. My cousin Jermaine Jones that played, amen, with the Cavaliers. You know, don't put yourself in a position where you want to come out being the loser. But then in the midst of it all, if he done it, you know, we don't know. We wasn't there, you know, but the truth will prevail itself, you know. But you pray, you aim high. And mothers, please, please, please encourage your daughters. You know, don't let fame and fortune, amen, be that golden rule to lay down with anybody. You don't have to sell yourself short for nothing, not for money, fame, fortune, houses, cars. Have silver or gold. Somebody got some babies in the bank. Amen to God.
God bless the babies.
We God bless our babies. You know, and one thing for sure, and two things that we know, we got to start with our babies. Let them know, don't sell yourself short for anything, because in the end, you're going to come out looking bad, even though the heat's going to get some time, like Mike Vick's got some time. Amen for the dogs. So don't be a cat willing to just give up anything and find yourself in a place where we're at right now, that you're trying to prove yourself. Ladies, keep your personal to yourself. Amen. And work while it's day, so you can obtain your own success. You ain't got to grip off of nobody else, and then now you be put in the place that you're in. I'm completed. And I just want to say that I have a couple of friends that are on, pastor and his wife.
Would you like to introduce them? Go ahead, introduce them.
Yeah, amen. Pastor Maldonado and Evangelist Emily Maldonado, are you all there?
What's their first three?
478. I think they're on 478.
All right, 478. Hello, you may speak.
Hi,
hey, Pastor.
Right. Good evening to you. Can you introduce yourselves and tell us where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Evangelist Emily, and we're calling from Ludowice, Georgia.
Hmm. Okay, then. Good evening to you.
Ludowice, Georgia.
Thank you for blessing us. What are your prayers? Oh, I apologize, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, we are the voices of truth. Yes, as we call it from, yeah, Georgia. So we thank God. Yes, to be on the radio broadcast with you. I just encourage everyone on the line, on the radio, and let them know that we ain't some end time things going on in the land. We just have to be prayerful, praying for the children, the family members, all those bereaved family that have been hurt to gun violence. You know, we just have to be prayerful one for another because we don't know what different families going through at this time. So I just thank God to just be on there just to encourage us to continue to pray one for another. Thank you, Evangelist Clayton, for the invite. It's a blessing just to be on the line. Just, you know, stay encouraged. Word of God. Amen.
Absolutely. And we definitely appreciate you calling in and being a part of the Six Eyes Radio Network and being on here with AJ and the squad.
We ask that you just come on and talk to us at 424-243-9617. If you want to talk, please make sure you press that 1 so we can get you on in here because we definitely want to hear what you have to say. We're going to take a moment and we're going to go pay some bills and sit back and relax, and we'll be right back.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Hello.
Amen.
All right, AJ, back to you, sir.
That's what's up. I just wanted to finish what Pride and Joy was saying, talking about earlier. If it's true, I'm going to tell you what upsets me the most, because we hear about this all the time. People in entertainment, sports, you can name it, wherever, millionaires, billionaires, all over the place, having inappropriate sex with minors, doing inappropriate things with women, rape, all kind of things. What's upsetting to me is how does it get to 22? You know what I'm saying? Like, you hear all these cases like, oh, 5 women, 10 women, 15 women, 20 women. You can't tell me that somebody doesn't know at woman 2, 3, 4, or 5 that this person or that person is doing what they're doing, or they have these traits, or they have these tendencies. But then you want to allow them then to give them liquor and drugs and a certain status and put them on platforms and make them feel like gods and they're untouchable. Mm-hmm. And then here we go with another young man. I know, unfortunately, because, you know, I'm from Cleveland, but we were looking forward to him playing. But now here we go again, so that upsets that whole routine and all that comes along with that. So it's just terrible to me that, it, you know, it's just another young individual who if it's true, you know, the consequences are the consequences, and you deserve whatever comes your way. But it's just one more person to talk about, but as an industry, as a whole. And I know we focus on men a lot, but there are women out here that do the same thing that these men are out here doing, but you just don't hear about that. Maybe we can talk about that, you know, at another time or whatever the case may be. But that what really upsets me is that when you listen to all these stories, the fact that the numbers, how does it get to be that high? And somebody needs to look into that, because, like I say, if you know what's going on at the very beginning, and you're a good person, and you believe that somebody's doing something wrong, yeah, say something to the commission. You know, pick up the phone, call whoever you need to call, and say, listen, I don't, you know, this is going on, and I don't want this going on, but you know, everybody's got that code, and you know, more than most likely, they're all a part of some who knows what's going on. You know what I mean? So it's like, how many of those who really are gonna really say something about it? That's what it really comes down to. So I was just listening to what everybody was saying. I just thought, like, that's really upsetting, because this has been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for those who don't know, Golden State did win yesterday, and they will be advancing to the NBA Finals. Currently, the Boston Celtics are down by, I believe, 2 or 3 by Miami. Well, at halftime, so I'll keep y'all posted on that. But does anybody else have anything else that they would like to? Okay. So what up? I need you to give me a second, and we're going to listen to a little music. And Mr. Two Piece, you almost ready, sir? Hello.
I am ready, sir.
Okay. So Queen, if you can give me like 30 seconds, we're going to listen to some music, and then we'll come back. We'll play a public service announcement by Mr. Two Piece, and he has something for us, and I'll be right.
Hello?
Again. Yes, go ahead.
You're not messed up. I'm sorry. Oh, no. You want
to talk? Go ahead. I've been on mute the whole time.
Okay. He's going to get you just a second. That's Portia, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we coming.
No. No.
You good?
I had something to say about what y'all was talking about.
Go ahead.
I would never say that put the blame on the woman at a disparity, disparity. Maybe she, you know, she got paid and she was like, money, money, money. But still, it's never the lady's fault.
Mm-hmm. You don't think so?
Mm-hmm. No. Because
you don't think it's ever the lady's fault?
No, because if when no means no. If they say no, they mean no.
So if a woman says no, but she stays there, she allows you to keep kissing on her, she spends the night with you, she takes money and jewelry stuff from you, that's still not her fault at all?
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer. Everybody's entitled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back to mute.
No. You come on back here. See, you know, I think sometimes we realize that you playing with people's emotions is not a good thing, you know.
No, it's not.
Especially with as women, you know, you fall in love with somebody and he wines and dines you, and it's this and it's that, and you thinking that y'all all official and together and this, that, and the third, and then you find out there's somebody else, and he may come out with, oh, well, I never said we were together. No, you didn't say those words, but everything else showed that we were. So it's my fault that I thought we were together when we were exclusive and I was giving you all of me, and I thought you was giving me all of you, but it's my fault because you was able to go talk to somebody else. So that's where communication comes in at. You know, we're not talking, we got to keep those
things open. Yes, communication is very important.
Very, very. So if we're doing all this and we're still growing and you already telling me you don't want me talking to anybody else, and no, you ain't said I'm yours, but you say don't talk to nobody else, or I don't want you talking to nobody else, or don't let
somebody
talk to you.
Means
you know, what
you're
else you supposed
to
think about
to nobody
that?
Else.
You know, so, true. You know, it's, you
okay.
know, you got to keep those lines open. You know, assumptions aren't good. They make, well, we already know what assumptions do. But, you know, you just got,
that
when
makes
it comes
you
to feathers
like
of the heart. Right. When it comes to feathers of the heart, you have to be completely honest and specific about what you got going on in that relationship. Because it's not one, it's going to be one way and somebody's going to get trouble, somebody's going to get hurt, and that's not a good thing.
Okay. Now can I go back on mute?
Sure. So you listeners out there, call 424-243-9617 to talk. Please press 1. We would love to hear what you have to say. I'm sure it's very, very interesting. So come talk to us. Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and the Squad. Catch us every Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Never know what we got to talk about. Come and talk to us, because we want to talk to you.
May I?
Yes, ma'am.
Evangelist Emily. Evangelist Emily, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Can you give us your take on this topic that we're talking about? Can you give us your take?
The last part, I'm hearing bits and pieces. I had to step out for a little bit. So as a woman, we have to be careful how we carry ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because we have to be careful. That's how I was taught. And we cannot be so quick to assume certain
mm-hmm.
things when it comes to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was in college, my freshman year, and it was this guy that wanted to talk to me. And he was a nice-looking guy. He was in the military. But for some reason, I just couldn't click with him. I don't know what it was. He was really nice-looking and in the military. So one particular day, class got canceled, and I didn't have to work because I worked part-time at Captain D's. So I went back to the apartment, and I got my roommate. She was home. And I said, ride to Hinesville with me, because we was in Statesboro at the time. And he was stationed at Fort Stewart. I told him, I said, ride to Hinesville with me. I said, I'm gonna surprise him today. I just wanted to see what was up. And when I got there, his roommate was surprised. When I walked in their place, the first thing I saw was a big old picture of him and his wife with the wedding on their wedding day. He never told me he was married. And but like I say, my spirit, it was just, I just couldn't click with him. So his roommate was standing there with his mouth dropped wide open. So then I said, okay, I said, I got to use your restroom. So he told me where the restroom at. When I went in the restroom, a whole bunch of pills was laid everywhere. They was out the bottle and they was poured on the counter. And I said, okay, what is this? And I got my roommate, and I told her, I said, let's go. And when I got back to Statesboro later on, he came trying to explain himself. There was no reason to explain yourself because everything was laid out when I saw it. And I say that because we have to be careful. Whether you got Christ in your life or not, it's mm-hmm. like something just don't sit in your spirit. And so we have to be careful how we approach things as a woman, because it could be a trap and God could be dealing with us. You have to step back and wait. We have to wait. Don't be so quick mm-hmm. to jump mm-hmm. into a relationship, because men think different. A lot of them think different. They was raised different. Everybody was raised different. So you put it out there like that, then he may accept it like that.
Huh.
And it's too late. Because you have allowed yourself to get into a situation, and it's sad. Because then if charges are pressed, you got to prove yourself. You got to prove yourself before the judge, before the courtroom, and whoever else is involved. So some things we have to step up and hear God, be led by the Spirit of God. Just wait, because I don't believe it's always the woman's fault. I don't believe that. And I don't believe it's always the man's fault. It's how you present it. It's how it's presented. And then don't be so quick as a woman to jump into anything.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
That was a crazy story.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah.
You
don't want to get caught up in nothing. Now you in jail or fighting a case. You can't get out of it.
That's right. Just be mindful of who you give yourself to. Because everything glitter ain't gold.
Everything that look good ain't good, baby.
Say that.
And grass is not always green on the other side.
Okay.
There's a thousand things we can say for that. We all know.
Yeah, we all been there before. Listening to AJ and the Squad on 6-5 Radio Network. Hit us up. 424-243-9617. Let's talk, baby.
I used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on I just believe it. There's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. But first I know it starts inside of me. Oh, oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly.
I believe.
Sorry, Dad. I'm going out to school.
Wait a minute, Billy. Wait a minute, Billy. Come here, son.
Yeah, Dad. What you need?
I want to tell you I love you, son. A lot of things going on in the world right now. And I want you to know that I love you. Have a great day at school. And pay attention to what the teacher says. Someone enter that school with a gun, go to shooting, any violence, get away, hide, duck, get behind something, okay?
Okay, Dad.
And I love you, son. Say your prayers when you get in class. Prayers for it. And let's pray before we go, okay?
Okay, Dad.
I love you, son. Amen. Have a wonderful day.
Amen. Love you, Dad.
This is Two Piece with Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and the Squad. Talk with your children before they go to school so they'll know the dangers, what to look for, and what to do. And pray with them also.
Thank you for that, Mr. Two Piece.
Thank you, Two Piece.
Still here with us, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I apologize earlier for the technical difficulty. Go right ahead, sir. Go right ahead.
All right, sir. Tonight, I had the pleasure, about 2.5 years ago, meeting a young lady on a party chat line. And I was going through some things myself with my health and everything. We got to discussing things in a group. And she told me about a condition that she has, because I was always talking about always me, always me. And she let me know there was other people sick in the world. We became good friends. Her name is Miss Portia, and she's from Kansas City, Missouri. And I asked her to come on tonight to share her story about her health condition that she goes through. Miss Portia?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening.
How you doing, Portia?
Welcome to Six Eyes Radio Network, AJ and the Squad. Good evening to you.
Well, thank y'all for having me. About me and my health condition. I have multiple sclerosis. I was diagnosed 27 years ago at the age of 12. I woke up. I remember the exact date. It was November 5th, 1995. I woke up and I was paralyzed on the right side of my body. Went to the hospital. They didn't know what was going on. The whole time I'm just like, I just want to go to school, you know? And eventually I was in the hospital about 6 months, and I ended up being paralyzed from the neck down. And I had no answer. But, like, that 5th month, they were like, well, you have multiple sclerosis. All right. By that time, I was 13. And I said, well, okay, what do I have to do? They said, well, right now, we don't have anything for you to do. So why are you keeping me here, you know? And they ended up having to give me a huge dose of steroids through IV. And I got better, and I walked out the hospital. Fortunately, I was 13 when I went in 12, and 23 days later, I turned 13. And, like, I missed. Now, I'm 38. I still have ups and downs, but mostly ups. By the grace of God, I've been dealing with this disease like it's nothing. And I've met people who have multiple sclerosis, and like they'll be diagnosed like last year, and they're already in a wheelchair or using walkers and canes to get around. They're no longer being self-sufficient. And when I tell them, like, I've had MS for 20-plus years, they're like, well, how are you so strong? How are you just walking around like everybody else? I said, because I have strong will. I'm strong-willed.
Amen.
And like, even like, not last year because of COVID, but year before last, no, not even year before, like 2019, when we used to have MS, like, get-togethers or whatever, and it would break my heart to see young people
just diagnosed last year, the year before, you know what I'm saying, or 6 months ago, and they already in a wheelchair. Mm. Because they were told what they had, and they were like, oh, it's over. Me? I was told what I had, and I said, oh, they just give me time to run. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take what you told me, and I'm going to run with it. So I have, like I said, I'm 38, soon to be 39. Ooh. I've been on 5 cruises. I've parasailed. I've done all kind of stuff. But I like to look those doctors that told me that my life wasn't going to be nothing in the face and tell them, like, look, what you told me I couldn't do, I've done that and beyond.
God is good.
Yeah. And I refuse to bow my head and give up. No, I'm kind of cute. So I keep my head up.
No, that's right.
Like, you got to keep smiling. I got a beautiful smile. You better not, please. You can't see my pretty smile if my head is always down.
Right.
And I just want for everybody listening in the panel, I have a phone number to the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all want to know more, or you can go to multiplesclerosisfoundation.com. That's easy. Hold on, let me get the number.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered it, but I forgot it.
Oh, no, that's all right. Should you take your time?
1-800-225-6495. Yes. Yes.
Appreciate
and
you. Thank you.
Yeah. I wasn't
No,
done
go ahead. Go
AJ.
Ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
Why you cut me off? You cut me
I
off?
I apologize. I might hear about it later.
She said you're going to hear about it now.
Oh, no.
Exactly. I ain't done. Out of here. AJ, you know me way better than that. You don't cut me off.
I apologize. Let me go stand in the corner.
Please stand in the corner with your face to the wall. Please.
Do I have to wear the top cap this
the
time?
On the wall.
I'm just playing. But, yeah, it's not, I know not many people talk about multiple sclerosis because it's not an African-American disease. Not at all. Although more African-Americans are coming down with it. Just little by little. But I think I started the trend in 95. Because, yeah, when I was in that children's hospital, actually it was 3 of us, and we all had the same symptoms. But we didn't know each other. We never saw each other. And just so happened, we all had the same paralyzing on one side. Except one girl, she was really, really bad. But it's not been easy, honestly. It took down my self-confidence. Because I feel like I'm out here with a disease, although I can almost do everything everybody else can do. It's still, I feel like I have something holding me back from thriving. And that's, yes, 27 years I've been going through that. But I'm happy. I'm the most happy person you ever met in your life. And AJ, you can talk now.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll put myself on mute and everything.
I
appreciate your permission, you know. It's not like, you know, my name means anything around. It ain't like I'm nobody important or nothing, you know what I mean?
No,
I appreciate you giving me permission to be able to talk and come off mute.
Look,
I thought she was
show,
going to be like texting Queen, like if you don't put your dude on mute, like we about to have a problem on this live podcast.
No.
It's about to go
no,
down.
No, no.
But at least she dials you, AJ.
Why, exactly.
I
appreciate that.
I respect him.
And I respect as well for you too, sweetie.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean that, and I'm so glad you came through and blessed us and graced us with your story. I really appreciate your testimony and your strength and what you go through. I want to go parasailing. I want to ask you about that. I was going to ask everybody. Do you have questions? But how was the parasailing? How was that?
It was scary.
Right.
Something I ain't going to do.
No, I mean, but no.
I just think
why
that sounds so beautiful.
It, wow. No, it wasn't. It was not. Because
I'm going to crush my dreams right now.
Because I was having what they call an exacerbation. My MS was flaring up at that time. So at that moment, I couldn't walk. I could barely talk. I couldn't swallow. But I said, damn it, I paid $200 to do this.
I know that.
I'm not.
Hey. Say the devil is alive.
Exactly. The devil, thought he had. But I said, no, devil. And my daddy was in the boat. I was up high. And the higher I got, the scarier I was. I was like,
right.
Jesus, I want to meet you, but not like this. It was fine. I could see if I wasn't going through what I was going through, I could have enjoyed it more.
Right.
But to me, I was going in slow motion in the air. Like, come on now.
I just want to know what that feels like. I got to do it. That's why I'm at. I just got to do it one time.
It's like, it's one of them things. It's like, you scared as hell. But once you get up there, it's like,
that's what I'm thinking, like peacefulness.
It's
like,
peaceful.
Right.
But when
and
you see it.
You come back down.
No, look.
No, not hell, no.
Hey, let me tell you. You get up, you parasail, like where they have you on the boat and you still connected to the rope or whatever.
Why?
They're not going to let you off their rope. Yeah.
They're just pulling you up.
You sitting down the whole time.
Wow.
Down. I mean, how scared can you be? You're sitting down the street. You're just in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Once you get that security, I feel like, okay, I'm good. I'm all right. Like, I ain't nothing really bad is about to happen. You can just relax, fall back, and enjoy the experience for real.
Sure. As long as you're sitting on the chair. But would I do it free, whatever? No. Because I'm scared of heights. So.
Right.
That wouldn't work out too well for me, huh?
Does anybody have any questions, comments, anything anybody would like to say, Miss Portia?
I would love to answer a question.
Absolutely.
If you don't have an
may I?
Absolutely.
This is Uncheckable, Portia. So when you went through everything, I'm sorry, my dog is barking.
Sounds like a cute dog.
When you start going through everything, when you went in the hospital, did you go through a lot of, like, I forgot what they call the bone density tests and stuff like that?
No, because multiple sclerosis is in the brain.
I was in the brain. Okay.
My immune system.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah. So
wow.
I would say, would try to do something about my bones. I would kick all of them. When
oh,
I got
no, no,
strong.
No. A bone scan, a bone density test, they just take a lot of pictures. Okay. But
I have lesions on my brain. So,
okay.
If they're active, wherever it's you know, wherever it's at, that's the part of my body that'll be affected.
But you sound like you're a strong individual, though. Keep your head up, stay prayed up, and keep going, doing you.
Oh, yeah. I don't have a choice.
That's what
and
God
just trust
me
and believe.
To be a warrior.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. We are some of the chosen. That's right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I knew that as a child, like when I was going through nosebleeds. And
you know,
and
as
then,
this.
And I'm just like, you know what, God, I'm not even going to question you, but thank you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my home care ladies told me when I first went blind, she's like, get up out that bed. Every time I come over here, you in the bed. Don't feel sorry for yourself. This was already made for you. This is what you supposed to went through. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, this is for you. God only... You know,
he's not gonna put more on
you. He pick and choose, so he know you can handle it. So
yeah,
keep your head up, baby. I'm complete.
That's all I know how to do.
Amen. May I?
Absolutely, you may.
Amen. Thank you, Portia, for your story. My question is that the percentage of muscular sclerosis. Is 2.7 billion people that have been affected, and it's been 1.7 billion those that are over the age of 18 years old. And muscular sclerosis is something that kind of like the white blood cells fighting against the red blood cells, you know, and it comes and also attack your spine and your brain.
Yes,
you know, if it's spinal difficulties and situation, you know, but I'm grateful that you kept the mentality, and that's what we're talking about, mental, your mental ability, that you kept the mental capability that you're going to push through this thing. You're going to fight this thing. You're not going to let it beat you, but you're going to be it, you know.
That's what I've done. And
determination plays a very significant part, amen, and whose we are as an individual in our strength. So I'm grateful to know, because, you know, so many Americans, you know, we suffer with different things that we
That's
don't
right.
even know. We don't even know, and we give up, you know, and we assume instead of fighting against whatever is attacking, because it attacks the immune system. A muscle sclerosis attacks the immune system. And so I'm grateful that you didn't give up. You stayed the course, and you're running the course, and you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you, you know. And,
yes,
and one thing for sure, and two things we know: so many Americans are suffering with muscular sclerosis and don't even know it, or don't even realize that's what it is. You know, when you're having these spinal difficulties, you're going through, you know, lower and back pain, and it goes down your thighs and your legs. You know, just like uncheckable, you got to check yourself before we wreck ourselves. You know, even though we may get
something
that doesn't sound right, check. You know, we may get something that doesn't just arrive with us, but mentally and emotionally, we can overcome it. And that's what we're about, overcoming obstacles and situations that's in our lives. And I'm grateful to hear your story that you overcame it. You overcame it. You're 38 years old, about to be 39, and I'm just grateful that you applied this information into our irrigate so that we as well, too, because we can't get too old and can't be too young. It does not affect each and every one of us in some way. So thank you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was funny when I was diagnosed, because I was so young, they was like, there's no way she could have MS because she's only 12. Because the most of the cases of MS, people are in their mid-20s and older.
Mm-hmm.
But I said I wanted to be ahead of the game, I guess.
Amen.
May I?
Yes.
Absolutely, ma'am.
I got a question for you, Portia. How was your family support when you was going through when you was first diagnosed?
Let's not. Oh man, they showered me with so much love and support, except my one auntie. God rest her soul. But everybody else, they were there every day.
That's beautiful.
I didn't have to eat the hospital food.
That's a blessing.
And, I mean, I'm from my family to even my 12-year-old friends from school and their parents, I was blessed. And I never spent the day, that whole five to six months I was in the hospital. I was never alone.
Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And once again, I want to thank Mr. Two Piece, bringing Portia through, and having her share our story with all of us and all the listeners on Six Sides Radio Network. We're here on AJ and the Squad. Queen, you still with us? Do you have any bills you need to pay?
Sure, I can always pay a bill.
Okay, because what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go ahead. We're going to get these, got one more song, well, two. We're going to get this one out, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get into that, all the gun violence and what's been going on in our schools. So you want to grab that real quick. I'm going to go ahead and grab that right quick, and then we'll get into that.
You want to throw out the number, 424-243-9617. Press 1 if you want to talk. Come talk to us. We got a little bit more time. We want to hear what you have to say. Six Sides Radio Network, AJ and the Squad, Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come talk to us. Press 1 to come on in live. We definitely want to hear what you have to say. Let's pay a bill or two.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
So, I was told, have you guys ever heard of a blind truck driver? Yes, no, maybe so. Well, guess what?
No.
How about it, sir? How about it? Just keep that in mind, okay? A blind truck driver. Just keep that in mind.
A blind truck driver.
Well, would you guys like to hear about it?
Blind truck driver.
A blind truck driver. Go for it.
Okay, well, let me tell you about it.
Okay.
I happen to be totally blind. This is Mr. Wolfgang here from Ashtabula, Ohio. Okay? Now, when I was younger, I had what they call legal blindness. That means I could see, but not with perfect vision. I only could see the big E on your eye chart. Okay? But later in life, I lost my vision to where I cannot see daylight from dark, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when I say blind, I mean blind.
Mm.
But when I was in elementary school, my sight-saving class teacher asked me what I wanted to be. And I was always heavy in the truck driving because I had several uncles that were truck drivers. And I said I wanted to be a truck driver. And she looked at me and said, obviously, which obviously would be a response she would have, you can't do that because you can't see. Well, I started to study that thing out, and I said, oh, yes, I can. Which most of you on this show tonight are saying, now, how can you be blind to be a truck driver? Well, first off, we got to understand the definition of the word truck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A truck is anything that hauls a load.
Okay.
If you go to your local hardware store, pick up a dolly.
That's
another name for a two-wheeled cart or dolly is a hand truck.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys never knew that, did you?
Nope.
Mm.
It's a hand truck. So,
okay.
Why? Because anything that hauls a load is a truck. So what I did is I took a three-wheeled pedal bicycle,
mm-hmm.
and I gear ratioed it down so that it has, instead of speed, I geared it down so it has pulling power. I hooked a trailer behind it. And what does it do? It hauls a load. So it's technically a truck.
Oh.
And since I drive it, and even though I'm totally blind, I have a seat on the right behind the main seat, and a person sits behind me, and they grab a hold of my elbows, and when they pull on my left one while pushing on the right one, that tells me to turn left.
Oh.
And vice versa. And
okay.
So I know when to turn. I'm using basically their eyes to steer me. And when they pull back on both my arms at the same time, that means hit the brakes. And so, basically, I have a truck. And since I'm driving it, I am a truck driver.
Okay.
And I'm blind.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So, to the teacher who told me that it can't be done, don't tell me that, because it can be.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's awesome.
You indeed grew up with trucks. I got buck wilding with a Jeep inside a field, open field, nobody around.
Well.
Yep, so I am the blind trucker.
The blind trucker. Gotcha.
And even Six, if he would have had a copy of the commercial on the board, but he doesn't. But he has a commercial that he does that's about blind trucking.
Okay.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
That talks about blind trucking and about getting loads hauled and how to contact blind trucking. And it's a really good commercial, but he didn't have it on the board, or I would have had you guys play that, because it would have been a really cool commercial.
Nah.
Oh, well.
Wow, amazing.
So you missed out on a good commercial.
Man.
Can you hear me?
Cool.
It happened again, didn't
cool.
it?
Cool.
It did, but we hear you now, sir.
Well, what's the last thing you heard? Because I don't understand what happened.
Just what you just saying now.
Really?
Yes, but you're fine. We're
so,
ready for you.
Guys, I'm complete.
Well, thank you so much, the blind trucker.
That sounds awesome.
I wish I could have heard that. Would you
oh,
like to try
very
this?
Interested.
Would you like to try this again?
Yes, by all means.
Hmm. Let me try this again, because
While we're waiting on Mr. AJ to bring us our next selection, my Pillow Talk question today, you guys. My Pillow Talk question for today.
Yeah.
What is your favorite position to sleep in?
Hmm.
With your mate, of course. With someone, of course. Your favorite position to sleep with someone. Don't be scared now.
Yeah, I know I ain't scared.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on 6 Sides Radio Network. Call us up 424-243-9617. Let us know what you think. Check, check.
I believe the children are future. Keep them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk.
Y'all hear at that time? Please tell me.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
God is good. Are you okay over there?
Yes, you are.
You okay?
Yes,
breathe.
Sir.
Everybody breathe. Breathe. Everybody breathe. 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 How do you start? I mean, we got to get into it, you know. And it's like you said, how do we start? That is right there. It starts with us. You know what I'm saying? It starts with all of us. You know, we have a lot of different stories. Go way, way, way back, as far as anybody can probably remember, about gun violence. The innocent that has been lost to people who, you know, have not taken the responsibility, who don't understand the loss of life. We've lost so many over the years, over the decades, over the generations, centuries. And what's going on now is just way out of hand. So I know there's a few people that have a few stories that they want to share before we get to the shooting down in Texas. So if those individuals, if you could tell your stories real quick, and then we'll jump into that, because there's a lot going on with that.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes. I'm going to tell the story about the Virginia Tech massacre. There was also a school shooting. It was a college, a university, or whatever the case may be, but it was a sad situation. So on April 16, 2007, the Virginia Tech massacre shooting was carried out by Sueng Cho. Cho was an undergrad student at the university located in Blacksburg, Virginia, and he was a U.S. resident who was originally from South Korea. While the motive for the shooting is unclear, it's been said that it may have been due to possible retaliation due to bullying, misanthropy, and mental illness. The shootings occurred in two separate incidents. The first incident was in West Ambler Johnson Hall, a residence hall, where Sueng Hu Cho killed two students. The second incident was in Norris Hall, an academic building on the opposite side of the campus, where the other 31 deaths occurred, including that of Cho himself, who committed suicide, and all of the non-lethal injuries that also occurred. Cho used two pistols during the attack, a .22 caliber Walther P-22 semi-automatic handgun, and a 9mm semi-automatic Glock 19 handgun. Mm-hmm. The shooting left 33 people dead and 23 injured. The victims range in age from 18 to 76. Still, after all of these years, my condolences go out to all of the families and all of the families who are going through this today. Sorry for your loss. And I'm complete.
Thank you, Destiny. We appreciate
that.
I think Pride and Joy had something she wanted to share with us, too, I believe, if you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. First, I'm going to give you the mental illness of a child. Then I'm going to go into the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. It can be extremely difficult when your child experiences mental health symptoms. But there is hope. Action you can take to help your child youth mental health warning signs. Mental health condition can also begin to develop in a young child because they're learning how to identify and talk about thoughts and emotions. Their most obvious symptoms are behavior symptoms, and children may include the following: changes in school performance, excessive worrying, anxiety, hyperactive behavior, fighting to avoid to be on the school campus, frequency, nightmares, frequency, disobedient or aggressive, freaking temper tantrums. Call 911 for Crisis Mental Health Hotline. It is open 24/7 at 1-800-854-771. Crisis text line, capital NAMI, to 741-741 to reach Youth Crisis Line, 1-800-843-5200. Go to the nearest emergency room if you can't help them with those. Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. It occurred on December 14, 2012 in Newton, Connecticut, United States, when 20-year-old Adam Lance was shot and killed 26 people. 20 of the victims were children between 6 and 7 years old, and 6 were adult staff members. Earlier that day, driving to school, Lance was shot and killed his mother at their Newton home. At first responders arrived at the school, Lance committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. This incident is the deadly mass shooting at an elementary school in the United States history, the fourth deadliest mass shooting over all shootings. Prompt renewed debate about gun control in the United States, including proposals to make background checks, system university, and for new federal and state gun legislating banding. The sales and manufacturing of certain types of semi-automatic firearms and magazines, which can hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. November 13, 2013 report issued by Connecticut State Attorney Office concluded that Lazard act alone, and he planned his action, but provided no indication why he did it or why he targeted the school. A report issued by Author of the Child Advocate in November 2014 stated that Lazarus had an illness, and as a teenager, he suffered with depression, anxiety, compulsive disorder, but concluded that they neither caused this, had nothing to do with none of the murderous acts that he reported on, saying he severe. He had health problems combined with his disease that he had. He pre-occurred plenty of violence, assets, deadly weapons. His mama bought him some of the weapons that he had. He was mass murdered November 30, 2012. 456 children were in kindergarten. 456 at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Security protocol have recently been upgraded, requiring visitors to be individually admitted after visual and identified review by video monitor doors to school. They were locked each day after morning carefully for days. The crime has been rare in this town. 28,000 residents stay there. Homicide there. And 10 years before this school shooting under Connecticut at the time, the 20-year-old was old enough to carry a long gun, such as a rifle or shotgun, but too young to own or carry handguns. The guns be verified, legally bought by his mother. They were having a faculty meeting who were at the meeting called Shooters Stay Put, which alert the colleagues to the danger, scare their life, and aid heard gunshots. Teachers heard the janitor tell him, "Put the gun down, Lazarus, kill both. Stay still." and she heard some noises. She went into the office and pressed her body against a door and kept it closed. She was later treated at Danbury Hospital. Someone said, "Put your hands up." It was a 10-year-old that heard the shooter said, "Put your hands up." A teacher called 911 turned. She went closer and closer and closer. She got all the people that was in the class. She had a total of 14 children with her. All 14 children dead in a bathroom. He had never been in trouble before, but this was his first time. He told his friends that he was going to do this. He didn't tell his friends why, but his friends, they were scared of him because they had seen previous things of what he would do to them if they were to ever turn on him. This is a story of the Sandy Hook story. This is about children. These same children, these same people that are still here, when they heard about the Texas shooting, it brought back memories to all of them. Each and every child, each and every teacher, each and every parent cried, sadly, talked about how they no longer can see their family. They can only see their brother. They can never see their sister. It's a terrible day to hear about another shooting and children got killed. These children, all of them, have issues now. They already was in a behavior class, but to see this, it tricked off something else. It began something else in their life. I'm just, want to say that, I don't know how they felt, but I know that I have children. I know that y'all have children. I know that everybody out there have children. We have to talk to our kids about these things. We don't want to talk to our kids about these things, but we have to, because we want them to know what to do if they were to get into this situation. When that 10-year-old called, and told him it was another shooter, he could have shot him right then. That 10-year-old could have been gone. Everybody else was already dead. The other 14 kids was dead. The two teachers was dead. He could have got them. He could have been another one that was lying on the ground. We have to talk to our children about this. And then what did he do? He commit suicide. And got out of it.
Coward.
So my encouraging word tonight is talk to your children. We have to. Because we'll never know when something's going to happen. It don't have to happen at school. It can happen at a friend house. It can happen at a party. It showed us it can happen at a club. It can happen all over the world in different places. We have to talk to our children about this so they'll know what they need to do. Or we'll just add another one to the list. I'm Miss Friday Joy with Six Eye Radio. If you're out there and you got something you want to say,
Oh, go ahead, finish. Go ahead.
And if you're out there and you have something you want to say, and just come on into the queue and talk to us. If you're already in there, push one. I'm here. Everyone's here, and we're waiting on you. Hope each and one of you have a great day, and we'll catch you on the next story. I'm complete.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Pranjoy. And, like, I apologize. It's just, you know, we have to just take into consideration what everybody's talking about, what everybody said, and Ms. Pranjoy brings up a lot of good points, as we have been all night long. But what happened in Texas is, you know, you think about Sandy Hook. You think about that. And you think about, like, here we go again.
Yeah.
And this now makes this the second deadliest shooting, I believe, as far as children are concerned in America. And I believe it is Uvalde. Somebody help me with that. Uvalde, Texas, where it happened. What Mr. Evangelist Clayton said. And you got to think about it. And we've all been watching it on news. And here we go. Another young individual lost. According to reports, a loner, bullied, made fun of, real no connection with the family, an outcast per se in society, no friends at school. And so here we go. Again, this individual is not the only one. There are lots of individuals like this, and we keep hearing the stories. There are more of them, and they're becoming more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the story, and, you know, my first thing is I'm angry at who sold this person 375 rounds.
Yes.
That part right
ammunition.
There.
Ammunition.
Exactly. We talk about, things that go on in the home. We talk about how easy it is to get it into the streets. But let's talk about these places that sell these firearms, and they're supposed to be selling it to somebody you would think, right? They're doing background checks.
Mm-hmm.
How is it every time we see on the news, okay, they have these manifestos, they have these mental health issues, they have psychological issues, all these red flags that should be going off, you would think when somebody does a background check, it says, no, sir, you're denied. You can't get a firearm, let alone a firearm that can, shoot that much ammunition. So when I started hearing that, that was the issue. Then the whole way as he's going this, he's like literally saying, I'm about to shoot my grandmother. He shot his grandmother in the face, I believe, like six times. And I don't know if she's still, if she's out of ICU. I don't know. Somebody might be able to check on that for me. But, he states, I'm about to do that. He does it. Then he says, I'm about to do this, and he does it. Then somehow he gets into the school, right? And I don't know if the rumors or the gossip are true, but it's an inside job or somebody propped the door up. But how is it that he got to the only door that wasn't locked or that was open?
Yeah, but
now we have the stories that are contradicting each other. Where the call went out at 11:40. It started at 11:40, they say, in front of the school. That's before when he got out, he wrecked the vehicle. He started shooting at people in the funeral home. So from that moment on, they said the first call, according to certain reports, was at 11:44. That was the first call. Now, keep in mind, he's in the school. Right? And there's more contradicting stories because, there's the video that was released today where it shows the parents, screaming, yelling at the police, get in there, do something. There's three or four different stories that we've been told where they say, okay, the police entered the building. They caught him in the room, the fourth grade room. Two of them got hit and they left. Why? I don't understand that. So that's upsetting to me. If you took an oath to protect and serve, and there are children being murdered, massacred, slaughtered, I don't understand why those police officers decided to go the other way. When you didn't have body armor, you didn't have a bulletproof vest on, you have a firearm, you have rounds with you, and the fact that you turned around. In my personal opinion, it is caused more death. You know what I'm saying? So then you have the other issues where they're saying, okay, well, he went into the building. He went right into the first room as he entered the building. But then they're saying on the news, oh, they was trying, you know, well, we're trying to lock this school down. We're trying to make sure there's nobody else. We didn't know where he was. How you don't hear this man continuously shooting and don't know where he is? What are you doing searching all over a building for when you know exactly where he is? So there's a lot of things that's upsetting about the different conflicting stories. You know, 18 children plus the shooter.
Yeah.
Then you have to think of the two adults and the one teacher, her husband, who died of a heart attack. And they're saying that a broken heart. He had a heart attack. He died because he couldn't go on without his wife. So you got to think about this. You know, it's crazy what's going on so many different levels. All the contradicting stories. How they get this ammunition? How they get the guns? How did this happen? He told everybody it was going to happen. Once again, you had the red flags. You had the heads up. You had all this. And you listen to all these stories, Columbine, Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech. You can go on and on and on and on and on. And you look, when you research these people's histories, they all have that in common. Something was all wrong psychologically, mentally. Something was wrong. They were outcasts. It was just something. And the signs are always there. And like I said, it starts with us paying attention. I know I don't mind. I don't know if Queen will mind me sharing a story real quick, but she called me one day, and she was going through a few things. And I said, "Well, what's going on? Tell me." And she was telling me that, you know, she said, "Well,
those students at the library."
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Okay, she's googling. So okay, I apologize. But Queen was telling me about how she was in, you know, literally envisioning. What happened in Texas in her school. And I don't know if anybody else, when you were watching that, like I envisioned it too. It's just you hear all these stories, and it's like I told her, you know, we as the adults of the community, especially with her being in and around children all the time, get the adults together, get the community together, be aware, be on the watch. If anything doesn't look right, call 911. Make sure that, you know, make carry mace. Make sure that you know in and out access points, exit points, you know, a place where you can put up a defense if necessary until the police gets there. And we just have to keep expressing that there's real darkness, there's real evil. You know, I understand that there's a lot of mental issues. To me, that's one angle. That's one aspect of it. There's a lot of this broken homes, broken families, the lack of fathers, the lack of mothers, the lack of leadership. There's all kind of things going on. So those people who, you know, can hear the sound of my voice, of the squad's voice, of anybody in America, you know, step up. You know, we have to bring love back. We have to fight darkness with light. We have to fight evil with love. There's no other way around it. And the choice has to be made. It says there will be a day of reckoning, and there will be a day when you have to make a choice. You stand for this or you stand for that. And I'm proud to be a part of the 6 Eyes Radio Network. I'm proud to be a part of AJ and the squad, because I know where everybody stands. I know where your spirit is. I know where your soul is. And I know what we're out here fighting for. And I have so much respect and love and appreciation for each and every one of you who go through and do what you do to make what we do what it is. But to the listeners, please, you know, these babies, these children, these toddlers, these preteens, these teenagers, they're growing up different than the way we did. The support isn't there. The home is different. The school is different. The street life, society, the critical race thinking, the things that's being pounded into our children's head with these games, these video games, and, you know, that they're making them you know, like zombies, consciousness, you know, consciousness. We just have to understand they don't know, like Uncheckable was saying earlier. The young individual didn't even realize what they had done. And that's what's going on all over America. They don't understand. They don't realize. To them, it's a video game. Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty or something like that. Or, you know what I'm saying? They don't really get it. There's once you squeeze that trigger, once them bullets exit those chambers, there's no coming back. There's no coming back from that.
Yep.
You're going to have loss of life on both ends. You know what I'm saying? Because you take a life, and then a life is lost to the system. Or the life, you know, let's lock them up. Let's put them on Ritalin. Let's put them on Adderall. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Now they have a record, and they're screwed for life.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So our condolences, our prayers go out to all the families, to all the victims down in Texas and everything that's going on in America and all over the world right now with all the evil that's just going crazy rampant out here right now. For those of you who understand, you know, stand up, step in, you know, family, support, you know, come together, take care of each other, look out for each other, provide for each other. Be as close as you possibly can. Stand for the truth. Stand for something. You know, make a difference. Why we still have time? Why we still can?
Yes.
You know. So I just want to give everybody the opportunity to be able to, you know, express their thoughts, feelings, and emotions on the shooting in Texas and what's going on. And what are your thoughts about all the contradictory stories that we're being told? And here we go again. So with that, I'm complete. And by all means, anybody, go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to ask a question of all the people that are in this room that have kids. And I just want to know how many of you will buy your children a weapon? How many of you will buy a weapon and how many of you would not buy a weapon for your child?
May I?
Absolutely, you may.
I would first hope that I wouldn't have to buy my child a weapon if she's in some sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I would first hope that there's enough love and support and protection around her that whatever she's going through, that her and I are close enough for her to come talk to me.
Yeah.
And I can be that protection and pray over her and let the school know what's going on. I think a lot of us are not holding people accountable who needs to be held accountable. I hear kids every day at school talking about they're being bullied. Somebody hit me. Somebody pushed me down. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. Well, did you tell somebody? Well, no, I didn't. Or I did, but she said, okay. We've got to let our kids know they can come talk to us. The teachers aren't going to listen all the time. The teachers aren't going, oh, well, I was such and such a place. Okay, well, if that teacher didn't listen, go home and tell your parents. Go home and tell who's ever in your home that something happened to you today at school, that somebody was at school that didn't supposed to be there, that somebody was at school that made you feel uncomfortable. But unfortunately, we're not holding these people accountable for what's supposed to be done in the schools. And I'm saying that from being on the inside and seeing it.
Man.
I run the child nutrition department in the school. I shouldn't have to be the one out in the hallway telling the kids to stop fighting. I shouldn't have to be the one in the library telling them kids to go sit down. I shouldn't have to be the one in the gym telling that child that this is you going to play this game anyway, because that's what other teachers are there for. But because I've built a rapport and because I put myself in a situation and because I've learned respect from those kids, you have to step in there and do whatever needs to be done because they're all our babies. But I was talking to our kids yesterday, the morning that it happened, and it's the morning I called AJ. And instead of asking these kids, do you want a blueberry muffin or cereal, I'm just going to tell these kids, make sure you look around the people that's in the school. If you walk up and down this hall and you see somebody that doesn't have a badge or somebody you've never seen before
or somebody keep on walking around and around the school, go tell somebody. But it shouldn't have been that child to see that person. That adult should have seen that person before that child did.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the kids, the teachers all the time, stop being scared. Mm-hmm. These kids are sent to school every day for our control, our protection. We're supposed to be watching these kids. But if the teachers are scared, how are we supposed to protect the kids? And it's just getting so old because we're not going to who we need to go to, and that's voting. That's our legislatures. That's our senators. That's our politicians. And we have to understand that's where it all goes to. You can talk in the school all day long, but it's the higher-ups. It's the USDA people. It's the DPI people that we've got to go start taking out of these positions because that's where all these gun laws and stuff is going to. That's where all these schools and rules and regulations are going to. But we as people don't understand how important that is, that we've got to vote. We've got to call our legislature. We've got to call our senators. We've got to call our governors. Stop being scared. You have a right to voice your opinion. And the more you voice it, maybe we can save some of these lives. That in Texas should have never happened. That should have never happened. But that could happen anywhere. It's not just a school, churches, hospitals, grocery stores. Because we got to start holding people accountable for what they're doing. And stop being scared. You matter. Your voice matters. And we got to start stepping up and protecting these babies.
Amen.
I'm complete.
Thank you, Queen. Appreciate you, brother. Has anybody else have any? Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I just tell you, I feel you, daughter, queen, I feel you. I feel you. I feel that emotion because it does. It affects all of us. Mm-hmm. All of us. It doesn't make a difference what color, race, creed, or national origin that you are. It affects us all. And with you working in the school system and you see our babies, you know, they go to pre-K. From pre-K, they go to kindergarten, then they go to elementary school. Then you see your babies, and some are scared to get out of the car because they so used to being with mama and daddy and grandma, and then you drop them off to the school, and you take them, and then you entrust in the school with your child. You entrust in them, that your trust level, that trust level goes way down to like a zero, and it affects all of us. It affects all of us. Amen. Those are our babies. Those are our future. Your babies are my babies. You know, I have 12 grandbabies and 8 great-grandbabies. Amen. And I tell you, my great-grandbabies, all of them are in school. They're in Texas, amen, in Dallas, you know, in McKinney, in various places, Castle Corner, you know, in various places in Texas. And when it occurred, it affects you. It affects you emotionally because you can't reach your grandbaby. You can't reach your grandchildren. You can't reach them and the phone just ringing. So, you know, that affects all of us. That affects all of us. And I know Pastor Hector is on it. Pastor Hector is a veteran. He's a veteran. Amen. And the gun, what do you call them? National Rifle Association, NFA Association. Mm-hmm. You know, they it's a money-making thing. So truly, they're getting the guns out into the hands of the enemy, and that's what the enemy come to do, steal, kill, and to destroy. But you're right. We got to voice our opinion. We got to pull together. You know that we stand divided, that we fall, because they could have been your babies, my babies,
yes.
ours,
yep.
As a whole. Amen. To God be the glory. And yes, it affects me and my household. I can't speak for nobody else, but it affects me and my household because I got children, my neighbors got children, my best friend got children, amen. And the young lady that was in the video with me, I don't know if you all saw, but she was in a wheelchair. That's one of my daughters by another mother. She was shot three times she was shot, and she was upstairs, and the gentleman that shot her throwed her body over the balcony, which causes her to be paralyzed and in a wheelchair. But she don't let that stop her. And we can't let this stop us. My best friend was killed, left Georgia to move to West Palm Beach. Someone shot and killed her and throwed her body over in a flower bed, We got to voice our opinion. We got the legislatures, government, wherever we have to go. As Queen said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to voice your opinion. Don't be afraid to speak out. Don't be afraid to go to somebody. Don't be afraid. I used to be afraid to go to somebody because I kept everything silently within. I used to be afraid to go to somebody because I didn't want them to know my story. I didn't want them to know my story because I wouldn't have wished that upon nobody. But now we have a voice, and we can voice our opinion now. You don't have to be silent. You don't have to be silent no more. Make a noise so that somebody can hear. Go tell somebody. Go tell somebody. Don't keep it to yourself, but go tell somebody. Mental, psychological is real. Amen. It's real. You know, and they call Ted Bundy a vicious monster here in Tallahassee. They call him a vicious monster. Amen. And Ted Bundy did some things, I tell you, that's beyond measure. That's beyond measure, but we tell God thank you because we're still here now and we can make a difference in our babies, in our schools, all over America.
Amen.
I'm completed. Amen.
Thank you. Just real quick, because we're on just real quick, because we're almost out of time. Real quick, I just want to say, if you do live in Cleveland, Ohio, by any chance, Myrtis H. Teller Mental Health Services on Kinsman Avenue. The number is 283-4400. If you know somebody who needs some mental health, somebody to talk to, that is a 24-hour hotline number. You can call them, and someone will be there to wait on your call or direct you to get some help or to come in for an assessment. I don't know if everybody caught the president, Mr. Biden, yesterday signing an executive order. I don't know, it was the George Floyd. Queen, you remember the last part of that bill? Offhand?
I don't. I'm sorry. That's all I know.
But, yeah, the president signed an executive order yesterday. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, there's a big dispute about, you know, people's civil rights and taking guns away from people. I believe in protection. I do. But I don't see the need nor understand the reason to have military assault-styled machine guns. I don't understand that. Why anybody needs to have AR-15s and AKs and SRs and I don't see the need for that. We need to try to plug up the leak wherever they're coming from. Because like I said, you can go to mostly any city, go to any inner city, and they're better armed than the police. Something's wrong with that. And then we hold the police back and say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that, and we're not going to give you what you need to not only protect themselves, but to protect and serve the communities, along with the racial divides and all the other divides that they have going on in their agendas. So we'll see what this executive order does. It's going to put some restraints in place. No chokeholds. Body cams have to be on at all times. They're going to try to change, lethal force. So we'll see how that goes. That's one stepping stone. But we once again, we need to do something about, as somebody proposed,
a junior assault band on assault rifles, a junior band on assault rifles. There's no reason say if you can't buy beer, or you got to be 21 before you can do certain things, and I don't understand how you can get a fully automatic weapon at 18. So we need to definitely change some things about that. So I just wanted to put that out there right quick. Go ahead.
It's the George Floyd Justice and Police Act.
There it is. Thank you, Queen. I appreciate that. So that's just something to think about. Like you said, we have to try to find a way, change legislation. We have to find a way to put pressure on who's ever responsible. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I don't understand how somebody 18 years old can walk in and say, "Give me an AR-15," by the way, give me 370 rounds to go with it, and that's not a red flag, or nobody's checking at it. Nobody doesn't think that that's not a problem. Like, what does an 18-year-old need with 375 rounds? Where's your parent at? Where's your father at? Can I talk to your mother? Can I try to get an understanding of this? So, we need to be on top of these things. And I say it starts with us. We've got to try to make these changes and be vigilant. You know, and as everybody has said tonight, you know, we got to watch out for the babies. Explain to them what's going on. They get it from us, and it's unfortunate, but we got to stop lying to them. We grew up, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, all kind of things that we grew up with. And as we got older, we come to have a different understanding. We're in a time and age where we cannot lie to the babies. We can't lie to the children. We got to let them know there's a whole lot, more lions and tigers and bears out there, a lot of wolves, predators. It's a lot going on out there. You know, I have two goddaughters, and they're both into martial science. We got to start thinking about things where, you know, we not only work on the physical, but we work on the mental. You know, we got to train them, like I say, to be aware. Like Pride and Joy said, like Queen said, we have to make them aware of what to look out for. You know what I'm saying? If you see these things, report these things. Tell somebody, a parent, a teacher, a counselor, somebody you trust, or something like that. All these things that, you know, small things that can save a child's life or prevent a mass murder. It's so terrible. It's terrible. And once again, all our prayers to everybody down in Texas, the victims and the ones that were lost. Also, I don't know if everybody's aware, Mr. Six is under the weather, so I want everybody to say a prayer for him. Yeah. Hope he gets better soon and that he can rejoin us. And we once again made him proud of us, I hope. So I just wanted to put that out there right quick before we got up out of here. Is there anybody else who would like to share opinions, thoughts, express?
I'd just like to say tonight, kudos out tonight. Queen has been on her first day of training working behind the scenes here. And so far, if I was to give her a grade level, you know, like they do in school, she got a 98% tonight, so kudos to her.
All right, what's up? Y'all don't know that it's the infamous Wolfgang right there. Like I said, we appreciate you, sir, being here with us.
That's him.
You know, I appreciate you earlier for filling in when I had a little technical difficulty, and I appreciate you walking through Queen through it. We appreciate you.
Tell me, that's for sure.
Well, don't worry about it, Nate. Like I told her, I'll be with her until I know she can do the job all by herself. But tonight, her training went out good. I give her a 98% tonight.
Oh, that's good. Well, she had a good teacher, sir. Good teacher. And, of course, we appreciate everything the Queen does, you know, on the podcast, behind the scenes, you know, off the phone, all kind of things. So, appreciate all the time, hard work, dedication, blood, sweat, and tears. And for y'all don't know, she's kind of medicated on some sinus medications, and Claritin and Mucinex, and Lord knows after this she's probably gonna get on that NyQuil with the honey. I don't know if y'all heard about
that.
On that
NyQuil,
but,
you're in trouble.
I don't know if y'all heard about
she
that.
Nighty night, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle.
You in trouble? Trouble, you in trouble?
Amen.
But I definitely want to say thank you to the Six Eyes Radio Network, to Mr. Six Eyes himself, Wolfgang, and of course the squad. So much respect and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you to Two Piece and his guest Portia. Appreciate
you
coming by and enlightening us on multiple sclerosis. And please check the Facebook for all the information, for anybody who needs it, it will be available there for you. Queen, why don't you tell them about the Facebook?
Oh, my gosh, you guys. It's AJ and the Squad, A period, J period, and T-H-E, Squad, S-Q-U-A-D, AJ and the Squad. And look for us, send us a request. Oh, my God, it's amazing, you guys. The page
That's
is
right.
awesome.
You're not
so
already being a part of it.
So much encouragement. We want you and you to come and join us on our
That's
page.
Right.
AJ
be a part
and
of
the
it.
Squad.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Queen.
I appreciate all of you guys. Everything that you guys do. Like I say, you are all handpicked for a reason. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody have anything else that they would like to say before we say our prayer and our last song of the night?
And thank you, AJ. I thank you for just coming in with this vision. I thank you for coming to me with help with this vision. Like I said, this is our baby. And I just thank you for just entrusting us with something that's so delicate to you. And so important to you. And I thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. I know I'm loving it. I'm having a ball.
Absolutely. I'm having
something
a great
completely
time.
Completely different. I'm stepping
That's
out
right.
of my comfort
God bless
zone.
You.
I love it. Bless
God
you.
Bless you.
So thank you for entrusting us. Thank you for this vision. And I'm excited to see what goes on happen for AJ and the squad.
Does anybody else have any party wishing words for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead, Ms. Clayton.
This is Evangelist Clayton. I just want to thank Pastor Hector and Evangelist Poppy Assembly Member Mondo. Amen. I want to say thank you, amen, for coming out and sitting in with, amen, Six Eyes Radio Network and AJ and the Squad. We pray that you got something out of tonight. I don't know, Pastor Hector, you're still there, but I thank you from the bottom of our heart. As a group, as a family, we are a family, so we thank you. And thank you for joining AJ and the Squad tonight, you and your wife, taking out the time to come and sit in with us on the couch. Amen. And pray that you take something away and that we can apply it, amen, to our children. Amen.
And just one more thing real quick. If you invite anybody in or when you come in yourself, please don't forget to press 1 in order for you to be able to talk. I was told I can't unmute your mic if you don't raise your hand. So you have to press 1. To come in and talk to us. Remember, even us, everybody, got to press 1.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Okay, you see that? I put that in there.
And for y'all who care, Miami beat Boston, so there will be another game for y'all who care. No, I told y'all, I got y'all.
Thank you so much, sir.
Anything I can do to help. Like I say, we're all in this together. So
yes.
Whatever I can do to contribute, and you know, like you said, it's my vision, your vision, but it's our vision, and we're all a part of it. And like I said, I'm just glad that we're taking this vision, astral projecting it into a reality. And this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. You know, we got plans. We got big plans, and God is good. And God willing, as long as we have breath in our bodies, there's nothing's going to stop us from our agendas and giving back and doing what we can for those who are in need and for those we can reach out to and help. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Absolutely. Does anybody else have any comments, any opinions, any suggestions, any thoughts, anything they want to put out here?
May I? Real quick.
Absolutely, you might, sir.
Today, after, you know, hearing all this stuff, I started something on my page, and I'd like to put it on our page also, the Step It Up Challenge for parents to teach your children gun safety, as well as things to do when, like Queen said, they're looking around what to see that's not right in the school setting and alert somebody, to tell somebody. Because if we don't teach them to do that, ourselves as parents, get involved, more involved in your kids' education, more things like this can happen. But we get involved, we can stop things like this from happening again and again.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Amen. So like as we always do about this time, if y'all would join me with a serenity prayer, please. God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change.
God accept us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change.
The courage to change the things we can.
The courage to change the things that we can.
And the wisdom to know the difference.
And the
wisdom to know the difference.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Now, if y'all want real quick, I'm going to go grab this last song for the night, if that's okay with everybody. Now, I've been having a little technicalities with my phone, so if I don't come back, I won't be able to come back. I'll catch y'all on the other side, but let's see how this works.
Oh, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Jesus
said
it.
Yeah.
So I ain't getting no answer to my pillow talk question. What's up with that? I ain't getting no answer.
You know I ain't scared.
What was the question?
The question was, how do you like to sleep with your mate?
I know.
The position.
I know that.
May I? I throw that on.
Go for it.
Not back against the wall.
You are now listening to AJ and the Squad on 6Size Radio Network. Call us up 424-243-9617. Let us know what's up.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. Maybe you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space.
Six Flags Radio Network.